May it please the court. Indiana law makes flag desecration a Class A misdemeanor. In the late winter of 2003, Megan Lawson and a group of others participated in a series of demonstrations in Elkhart County to protest America's involvement in the Iraqi war. During these demonstrations, there was an American flag displayed which had a peace sign painted upon it. In response, one of the county commissioners, the chief executive of Elkhart County, called for criminal prosecution of those who desecrated the flag.
So why, I don't understand you, why isn't he a defendant? Why is this fellow Hill a defendant? He never threatened to prosecute her, did he?
No, Your Honor, he never made an explicit threat.
Well, wait a minute, explicit threat. When this suit was brought, had he said anything?
Well, that's the point, Your Honor. He had not said anything.
Well, wait a second. So here's your argument is that you can bring a suit and get an injunction against a public official who has not said anything about the enforcement of a statute in circumstances where it would be unconstitutional to enforce it.
Your Honor, he stood silent.
No, wait a second, stood silent. I don't understand you. Suppose can you leaf through the statute books of a state and find a statute that's unconstitutional or that has applications that would be clearly unconstitutional, and then ask for an injunction against a local prosecutor?
No, Your Honor. But in this case, Your Honor, the issue was presented to Prosecutor Hill.
What issue presented? You sued him.
Yes,
when was the issue presented to him?
His response, Your Honor.
That's his response to the suit.
But no, Your Honor, his response was that there had been.
What's his response to that? Than what he says in his deposition.
Well, prior to that, Your Honor, when he was contacted by the police, his response was to do nothing. He did not affirmatively.
Precisely. Of course he didn't do anything. He wouldn't, because it would violate the Supreme Court.
Your Honor.
I don't understand. Look, you would accept, wouldn't you, the general proposition, you can't get an injunction against anybody unless you have some realistic concern that this person is going to violate your right.
If there's a
if you just have a prosecutor sitting out there who's never said anything, how can you get an injunction without having some evidence that makes you think that he is going to?
Well, Your Honor, this court has noted a credible threat of prosecution exists.
Precisely.
It fails to indicate that it won't impact.
You don't have any case that holds that
well, commodity trend, Your Honor. That's the quote from commodity
look,
trend.
You can have a case like Majors, which you cite.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's a case where you have a statute that appears to govern the conduct, to criminalize the conduct of the plaintiff.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the statute has never been interpreted judicially. And
that's
so the person is worried that if it's interpreted one way, it criminalizes his activity. And in fact, what we did in that case, we referred the issue to the Indiana Supreme Court, which sure enough ruled that the statute did apply to him,
mm-hmm.
and that it was a constitutional statute, so he really was in jeopardy. But in this case, we know that if she wants to mutilate, or whatever you want to describe it, or paint symbols on a flag that she owns, when she doesn't create a fire hazard or anything, then she has a constitutional privilege to do that. And since that's utterly clear, and this fellow, when you brought the suit, Curtis Hill, had never said, well, I don't care about the Constitution or what the Supreme Court says, I'm going to nail her, I just don't see what basis there is for thinking that she's in any kind of jeopardy. Now, if she's afraid of this police chief arresting her or the councilman doing something, well, she can sue them. But why is she suing this prosecutor?
Well, he is the chief law enforcement officer, Your Honor.
But there's no reason to think he's going to do anything.
Your Honor, this is a situation where there is public outcry from the county commissioner.
But Hill has already told the police. He has said to the police, back off from investigating violations of the statute.
No, excuse me, Your Honor, that is not what the record indicates. That is what he says in his brief, but his actual quote, which the record cites but doesn't quote, is, When he was contacted by the police and the sheriff, I informed them that based upon the information presented, no investigation was warranted. But then in his deposition, I realize his deposition is after the fact, Your Honor, but then in his deposition he said there had been no formal criminal complaint filed, and if there had been a criminal complaint, and we're still within the 2-year period, he would investigate
it. Well, of course, he would investigate. Why don't you pass a piece under a neighbor's flag?
Well, of course, Your Honor, but he didn't...
Of course.
But at no point...
This is not a statute that is unconstitutional in all its applications.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you can't go to a prosecutor and say, I want an advisory opinion. Part of the statute is constitutional, part is unconstitutional. I want to do X. I want an advisory opinion. You know, if I do X, you're not going to prosecute me. We don't have that.
No, Your Honor, but then we have this... prosecutor saying, look, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to prosecute
you
for
explicit... How can we just know what she might do next?
Well, Your Honor, in his deposition, again, after the fact, he didn't say I'm not going to prosecute for expressive flag desecration. He says I'm going to investigate each and every allegation, complaint, including the complaint that might have come from the demonstrations in the winter of 2008.
Did he say that he would consider the statute in conjunction with Texas versus Johnson?
Well, yes, Your Honor, but a prosecutor...
And that's on all fours, isn't it?
Well, I recognize it as all fours. You recognize all fours, but the prosecutor didn't say what's on all fours.
It's very insulting, too. I mean, this is the comedy point of Judge Sharp. Maybe you don't want to have a doctrine here, but it's very insulting to say to these officials, look, you know, you say you're going to interpret the statute in conformity with the Supreme Court decisions, but, you know, you're some local guy. We don't know if you can read Supreme Court decisions accurately. So we want you in charge. We want an injunction. We'll tell you exactly what you can do and what you can't do because you can't be trusted to make these judgments yourself.
Your Honor, that we have a criminal statute. We have someone who wants to violate the criminal statute to, in furtherance of expressive activity. We have a prosecutor that has not affirmatively indicated he will not enforce
the
statute.
But why does a prosecutor... Remember, this is not an entirely unconstitutional statute. It's a statute... So so of course he's not going to say, I'll never enforce the statute. And why should the federal courts come in and say, look, we're going to tell you, Mr. Prosecutor, exactly what you can do, what you can't do. You know, we're going to draft enforcement guidelines for you. What case has ever permitted that sort of thing?
Well, Your Honor, if we accept the notion, as this Court and the Supreme Court has accepted, that there a credible threat exists when there's not an affirmative disavowal, what sort of...
Well, what that means, look, if you take that literally, that means that, again, you can go through, you can enjoin every public official in the United States and say, look, you know, the statutes you enforce, apparently it's not customary, I gather, or it's not automatic for... states to the federal government, if a statute is held unconstitutional in part or whole, they don't repeal it. It just sits there. It can sit there for hundreds of years. So the statute books of the United States must be full of statutes that are partially or fully unconstitutional. That doesn't mean you can go around asking for injunctions against law enforcement officials who probably never even heard of these laws, let alone have any intention of enforcing them.
But Prosecutor Hill did hear of this law, and there was activity in the county, and he stood silent, and their statute is directly on point with Ms. Lawson's conduct. There was no affirmative decision.
But now you're saying if any public official, a mayor or anyone, makes any statement about these people should be locked up, you know, they disrespect the flag or something, that creates a legal duty on the part of all public prosecutors to publicly disavow the statement of the, you know, police officer.
Well, Your Honor, again, we can't forget what the prosecutor indicated in his deposition. He is ready and willing to investigate.
Look, you have to have a basis for bringing a suit. You can't bring a groundless suit and then hope for a defendant to say something in a deposition.
That's correct.
So forget the deposition. When you brought this suit, there was no reason for Megan Lawson to think that she was going to be prosecuted as long as her own flag that she wanted to alter.
I would disagree, Your Honor. There had been no prosecution filed over a previous incident where a flag was displayed that was desecrated. Display is not unlawful. The desecration is. She remained ready, willing, and wanting to engage in an act which is criminal under Indiana law. She sued the person who would be enforcing the statute against her. That's what we knew. And then afterwards, we discovered in the course of the deposition that, yes, he was ready and willing to investigate any complaint to flag desecration, and he would refuse to.
No, he wasn't ready and willing because he told the police officer that he wasn't going to investigate.
He said in his deposition, however, that referring specifically to what had occurred.
Well, he doesn't want to give you an advisory opinion.
Or carte blanche to do anything.
Well, of course, Your Honor, but he indicated that he was willing to investigate even the desecration that had occurred in March of 2003, and therefore she remained under a credible threat of prosecution.
Another thing is, didn't she move out of Elkhart County?
The record reflects, Your Honor, that she did move out of Elkhart County, but that she would continue with her demonstrations there. In reality, since that time, she has moved back, but that is where she engaged in these activities.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Falk. Mr. Fisher?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I think the key here is that this is not a typical pre-enforcement challenge to a state statute. This is not a situation, as with Major's case, where you've got substantial arguments in favor of enforcing the statute even as against expressive activity, fully protected activity. Supreme Court's pretty clearly decided this issue. There are perhaps applications remaining for non-expressive conduct, for destroying someone else's property, that sort of thing, but those aren't implicated here. So I think that given that context, what Prosecutor Hill has done and said speaks volumes and goes to the very nub of what even the plaintiff is urging.
Well, he was a little coy.
Well, he's in a situation where he doesn't know all of the possible circumstances that might arrive where this could be relevant. And it wasn't just a matter of making an open declaration. He was brought concrete circumstances and said that no investigation was warranted. So I think that adds to his understanding. And his recitation of Texas v. Johnson sends a pretty unmistakable message about that.
Do you think that the statements of political officials other than a prosecutor can ever create a credible threat of arrest or prosecution?
Well, it seems to me that if you have an official, and I don't want to suggest that this is the case here at all, but if you have an official that is, has a position of responsibility to execute an arrest or to carry out something that would violate constitutional rights, then perhaps there could be the ability to sue that official, because if the law is, especially where the law is clear, and there's a suggestion that the person would disregard the law, then there may be some basis. But that's not here. We don't have anything like that here.
I mean, we all know that there are officials who pander to public opinion, knowing full well that nothing could ever come of it. But, it's a vote-getting device.
Okay, and if there are circumstances where somebody, again, in a position of responsibility is making statements that they are, in fact, going to take specific action against specific kinds of circumstances, that might present a different circumstance. I could imagine that.
So, in other words, if some of these people are out there shrieking to the press about, Miss Lawson, I take it, you would agree that she might have a case against them?
Well, I think we have to worry about who some of these people are and whether they actually are in a position to do anything.
Well, like, the chief of police and the county commissioner.
Chief of police didn't shriek about anything. He walked away. He was.
No, I'm saying,
in some hypothetical circumstance, if there was a specific threat where somebody's essentially saying, I know what the Supreme Court has said, but I'm going to disregard it, I'm going to put you in jail.
Well, they don't say it like that. They don't talk about what the Supreme Court has said.
Where it's tantamount to that. Where here, it's tantamount. We turn the tables on that. What's tantamount is that there has been a functional disclaimer because he understands Johnson. Specifically said he would take that into account. And, in fact, has said no investigation was warranted.
So Mr. Hill is an elected official, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And I think, again, this also does go to the comedy argument. Don't want to interfere with his ability to understand and enforce the statute in light of the Supreme Court precedents, which I think is consistent with the what the Hoover case was saying about undue interference in that regard. But, if there are no further questions, I don't have anything else to ask.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Falk, your time expired, but if you'd like another minute, you're welcome to it. How come you didn't, following up on what Judge Rovner asked, Mr. Fisher, why didn't you join the police chief as a defendant and a councilman? Seems odd to pick on poor old Hill, who didn't do anything.
Well, Your Honor, we felt that the prosecutor was the natural target because he is the one who was going to be ultimately enforcing the statute. And the credible threat was the credible threat of prosecution because the statute was there and the prosecutor stood silent. And therefore, under case law from this court and the Supreme Court, that is a credible threat when you're dealing with an impingement and a foregoing of clear First Amendment expressive activity.
But you think the more credible threat would be that she might be arrested?
At this point, Your Honor, what she wanted to do was to engage in future conduct, and she wanted to make sure that she would not be prosecuted. And that was what she alleged, and therefore we sued the prosecutor who would be the one to be enforcing the statute in that regard.
Can you imagine the Pandora's box we would open up?
No, Your Honor. I mean, I think here we have, under prior case law, a credible threat of prosecution. We have a statute. We have someone who has not disavowed enforcement. We have a community that has commented on the criminal action that was contemplated, and the prosecutor stood silent. And she, and as I said, she did not pursue her First Amendment rights because of that.
Are you asking for a declaration that the statute is unconstitutional?
As applied, yes, Your Honor, to the expressive activity.
Well, aren't you supposed to notify the state?
And we did at the very beginning of the case, which
you
is why...
You did notify the state.
I'm sorry, we did
you
file
did?
A formal
okay.
notice, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both parties, both counsel. Next case for argument...